Welcome to the Creatively Freelancing Podcast, Episode 3. Today, I'll be talking to improviser and actor Paul Connolly about loneliness. You're keen to talk about loneliness as a creative freelancer. You're an actor, an improviser. Surely you're surrounded by people all the time.
So I think it's important for us to remember that loneliness is, well, there's two factors to that. So first of all, there is the mental state of feeling lonely. And we've all been in that experience before where you could be in a room full of people and still feel very isolated. That's as true. Well as the literal version. So you know, there are times when you're by yourself and you don't feel alone, but you can certainly feel lonely when you're physically alone. So I think that with the freelancer, you get both. So the physical state of loneliness happens because a lot of our work or a lot of our time will involve us being by ourselves. You know, we work often unusual hours. If you're a performer like myself, you're often performing in the evenings and on weekends when other people, friends, partners, if you may have them, who would probably be doing their, you know, when they have their free time, you're busy working, so you don't have that chance to connect. And also a lot of our work, you know, admin, I was doing a bunch earlier today, answering emails, sorting through, getting accounts updated, all that kind of stuff. That stuff you do by yourself. You know, it's, and I've not got an office that I go to. Most freelancers don't have their office that they go to. You're working presumably at home, maybe in a coffee shop or at the library, but it's still a very isolating, physically isolating. And that says there's also that mental aspect where, particularly in the performance industry, and again, I think this applies to a lot of freelance workers, you're often having to think about yourself and your own career. And without going on a anti-capitalist rant or anything like that, I don't think it's the nature of this particular podcast. We can do if you want. That's
well, not
available.
So far, but
we'll see. By the end of it, we'll be singing you hear the people sing. But it's an industry that encourages. So you are thinking about what's going to work for yourself. You're thinking about your own career. You're not necessarily thinking about others and work with others. And it can cause that sort of mental loneliness that can come about from not discussing things with other people, not talking about things that are issues, or you know, you may have a contract, you're not sure if certain terms are right or wrong, and that feeling you can't talk to anybody because you don't know if you're going to say the wrong thing, you're going to lose out an opportunity to work, you don't know if other people are feeling the same way, it encourages you not to speak to others. And so then you can start to feel like you're the only one that's going through these feelings of loneliness, of worrying about your career, worrying about if you're doing life correct, you know, whether any part of your life, it almost encourages you not to talk about it because you're thinking about your own career. You're thinking about giving the impression that you're doing well, social media, this kind of stuff as well. You want to constantly give this impression that you're doing well and you're seeing other people who are doing the same thing. So I think it's coming at the freelancer from both sides, I'd say, even if you are doing work that involves being with other people.
Okay, that sounds terrifying. Do you have a solution? Is there something that you do to combat this?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, the first thing I want to say is that I don't think there's a simple pill. You take this and you never feel any of these issues again. And I would never want to give that impression because I think that can feed into the cycle of, oh, the reason why you're feeling lonely is because you're doing life wrong. And if you just did these simple things, it's not an easy thing and it's difficult. And I will go through periods where I feel worst feelings of loneliness and isolation and ruminating on lots of factors. I think the things that have helped me is having those people in your life that are grounding force. Not everybody has them, unfortunately, but if you've got a partner, if you've got family, parents, siblings that you're in contact with, you know, keeping those relationships active, going to the effort, if you can do, of talking to them, seeing them, that kind of stuff. I think also, and this is Edinburgh specific, because that's where I'm based currently, during the pandemic, which was a horrendous time, the lockdowns, and I'm not saying let's go back to that by any stretch of the imagination. For me, there was a slight silver lining, which was that I started to connect more with Edinburgh-based organisations or Edinburgh chapters of organisations. So with Equity, with EPAD, Edinburgh Performing Arts Development, with Creative Edinburgh, going along to their online events, Freelancers Make Theatre Work, that was another one as well. Just going to these online events, meeting with people, talking, sharing in a safe space, you know, things, how life was going, and how the tricky things we're having with being a freelancer, what's positives. And even since the lockdowns have lifted and we can meet in person, going along to these events. So EPAD do co-working days. And that's a great opportunity just to be with other people, have that office experience that you don't normally get. Going to Equity meetings, if you're an actor, going to Equity meetings, if you're a creative freelancer and your city has something like Creative Edinburgh, going to those events. It's maybe not that the event is going to be something you really need to know a huge deal about, or it's just about going to these things and feeling connected to other people and feel part of it. And also, I hate referring to it as networking, because I've got a background in computing. Networking is what you do with cables and that kind of stuff. It's about connecting with people. And there's some people who are really good at having the business cards, which I've been at this only 15 years and still haven't got the business cards. I'll get it one day. I swear I'll get them one day. But there's people who are very good at that, where they go in and like, okay, boom, I'm here to talk with you, share information. Are you useful to me? No, okay. I think if you're somebody like myself who's not as good at that, but is good at just kind of connecting with people, I think you have to see the goal of these events not as I'm trying to get as many names as possible to my address book. It's about just I'm connected with people. I'm talking to people.
Having gone to a few of these events myself, I think what's great is there are a lot of people in the creative industry that are socially awkward. For socially awkward people, talking to other socially awkward people, it just makes it a little bit easier.
And this is something that, if I was to offer a slight criticism of some of these events, slightly tongue-in-cheek, but also sincere, I think there is a bad habit of the event not necessarily encouraging people to chat to other people they don't know, and you end up chatting to the people that you already know to some extent. When you're aware of that, you can do, you know, you can change the way you approach it. And it's interesting because often people will say they don't know how to start a conversation, don't know how to approach it. And I'm a bit like that in the real world as well. You know, I often say I'm a bit like a vampire. I need to be invited to a conversation before I feel I'm allowed to engage. What I say to people is twofold. First of all, if you've been to see somebody perform a piece of work, so if it's an event where there's some sort of performance attached to it, go up and tell the person something you liked about what you just saw, something specific. So not just, oh, well done, or oh, that's good, but oh, I really like the way that you sung that song just at the end. It really touched me. When you can have that kind of personal compliment thing, that's always a great way into any conversation.
Yeah.
The other thing I always say is that, and I'm a big fan of a thing called visual intelligence, which is about really examining what are the things we know, we don't know, what are we actually seeing, what are we not seeing, where are the gaps in our knowledge. And if you just look at somebody like, what do I not know about you that is socially appropriate for me to inquire about? But, you know, what do I know what you do in your field? Do I know what your favorite dinner is? You know, and I think that's the other thing as well, is just having those little tricks, you got that up your sleeve, just to be a little bit more comfortable. As I think you say quite rightly, particularly in the performance arts industry, you've got people who can go on stage and do the most amazing things in front of hundreds of people. You could dance, you could sing, you could become a character, you can look ridiculous, you can look sincere, you can cry. But as soon as you're one-on-one with somebody, suddenly that is just the most self-conscious thing in the world and just panic-inducing and want to run. And I get it, and I've been there before.
Can I go back to what you were saying about EPAD? Because a lot of people won't be Edinburgh based, they won't know what that is.
So EPAD itself is a collaborative, loose sort of network where the organisers of it, and it's Nick, Lucy and Kate who run it. Their whole idea is connections. So connecting people who are in the performance arts industry, whatever role, actor, theatre maker, writer, director, they facilitate these connections. So either through their surgeries, where you can have a meeting and say, look, here's the thing that I'm wanted to get better at or want to get more knowledge of. And then they can say, okay, we can arrange meetings with these people that we know. Or they do, as I mentioned before, their co-working days, where they hire out a space, might be the Festival Theatre, Traverse, something like that. and you get a desk, you get space to bring your laptop, your jotter, your whatever it is you're working on. There's tea, coffees, sometimes depending on the venue, there's lunch included as well. And it's just, you turn up and you just do whatever you need to do work-wise, and you can chat to folk, you can go out and get some coffee, you know, have your water cooler moment. It's just like being in an office, which I realize to the majority of people who listen to this, they're probably like, okay, what is special about the office? I thought you went into the performance arts industry because you didn't want to have an office job. And there is truth. There is truth to that. But every so often you need that slightly social aspect.
That's interesting, because what you were saying right at the beginning was talking about doing your own admin and how that is actually one of the loneliest times. Mm-hmm. So if you can combat that by going to one of these days, that's great. Do you know, do they have these elsewhere in the UK?
The short answer is no, and partially because I've only really started to become more aware of what's happening in Edinburgh recent times.
Yeah.
I would wager, though, that stuff like this is happening elsewhere because freelancers are all over the UK. And also, you've got your Equity, you've got Freelancers Make Theatre Work. So Equity is obviously the actors' union. Well, it's an artists' union, I should say. You've got the Freelancers Make Theatre Work, which is a network, support network that's run across the UK. There are these resources to reach out to. I would imagine, particularly in the major cities, I imagine the more rural and remote areas perhaps don't have quite the same networks, but I would imagine elsewhere they might have something like that.
Yeah, maybe there's still some online meetings lingering as well after lockdown.
Absolutely, and that was another thing that was a big for me in terms of connecting with people during the lockdowns. I don't know about you, yourself, if you had a similar experience where you suddenly realised who was being missed from the conversation, because my, as much as I felt loneliness before the pandemic, and that was, as I say, I still feel it at points now, pre-pandemic, I really felt like I was not part of the wider community outside of the improv, which I did quite a lot with. And going to this stuff online, I started to feel more connected, but then also meeting people who are, for one reason or another, really can't leave their house, either due to caring commitments, health reasons, what have you, and how much they were being excluded from conversations because the events that were happening, their voice couldn't be heard.
In audio and voice, mm-hmm. it's quite inclusive because a lot of it is online and you don't need to be places in person. So it's easy to miss things like that. I think in the majority of the arts, though, it is in person, isn't it?
There's still, I mean, Creative Edinburgh, I would say they still do a lot of stuff online. They have in-person events as well, but they still offer online aspects. And Equity, I was at an Equity event recently in Edinburgh and it was a hybrid event. So there was an in-person event at the Traverse, but there was also Zoom, so anybody could log in. Well, not anybody, anybody who's a union member mm-hmm. could log in. These hybrids, as well as solely online events, are still happening, which I think is a good thing. It's also good that we have the in-person as well. I mean, I do enjoy being in a room with people.
It's really interesting, though, that you should mention the people that had been left out. And hopefully that's been tackled now somehow, that these people that had been being left out are somehow included.
I would love to say that we solved everything, that we had this pandemic, we had this lockdown, and then we realised the problems in our society and we addressed them all. I don't think it's cynical for me to say we've not reached that point, that I think that it wasn't that we didn't learn lessons from it, that it's just that change, unfortunately, sometimes is a lot slower than it needs to be. The important aspect is not to lose sight, not to lose the voice of those individuals who were, as I said earlier, in some extent voiceless before. I think it's important for us to be consciously aware of and saying, look, are we actually engaging with everybody? Are we engaging with people of different backgrounds, different experiences? And making sure we're consciously including them in the conversation. And I think that's where there's been change mm-hmm. in that. I think it's a lot more actively making it accessible and including these people. But I think we're still a long way from that being the norm. And the way we get there, keep the pressure up and say, make sure there's these options available to people. Make sure that there's hybrid options and people can Zoom in or whatever other accessibility requirements there are.
Yeah, so it's on the radar now.
it's on the radar, and if you keep up the pressure, you can't ignore it. If you kind of go, well, we solved that, well, back to business as usual, it's like, well, hang on a second, no, we need to keep that pressure up until it becomes the circle default
back. You go along to acting classes, the actor's gym, and I would guess that's another good way of combating the loneliness.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so the actor's gym, so for those who are not familiar, it's an Edinburgh-based, you go to a regular gym to work on your body, your physical muscles. You go to the actor's gym to work on your acting muscles. It's run by the Edinburgh Acting School. And although I didn't train through Edinburgh Acting School, I got involved with the actor's gym. And it's we sometimes jokingly call it the support meeting for actors. Just because it's a chance to connect with people. And you're absolutely right. That's a way that you can call about that loneliness, that connection to other people who are doing the actor's gym, who are in a similar position to yourself. I mean, there's some people who've been in the industry 40 odd years. There's some of us who have only been in it a few years. And so you do have that range of background. And people, although it's called the actor's gym and we focus on the acting side of things, there is a myriad of different disciplines that people focus on in the performance arts with that. But I would definitely say, yeah, it's not always the most financially feasible, but doing classes is a good way of not only obviously working on your skills and improving that, but building up those connections to other people, even if you're not necessarily building lifelong connections. I've often, as anybody who's spent more than 5 minutes conversing with me will be aware, that I often go over to New York. And
really, Paul?
I swear, right. There's become this unofficial rule in the Edinburgh improv scene that you've become part of it when, if I bring up New York, you say ironically, have you been to New York? I do love it though. But I've done improv classes, musical improv, acting classes, all that kind of stuff when I've been over there. And I know a lot of stuff, classes that happen over here as well, in Scotland and elsewhere in the UK. And just going to classes like that, again, you're building up those chances to meet with people, to work in your craft, whatever that might be. It's just opportunities to be in the room with people and to connect with people.
Going back to New York, because, you know, why not?
Of course.
So would you say that connections that you've made through people in New York, that's helped you this side of the water? Or are those connections something that are purely useful when you head back over to New York?
It depends. So, I mean, certainly the experience, the training you get over there can be useful when you're able to apply it over here. You know, some things, so for example, the improv acting stuff, I can apply those skills when I'm over here. The sketch writing stuff that I've done, there's not as much on the Edinburgh scene, so not being able to connect quite as much with that. In terms of the more connected with the people, it's interesting. It's such a good question, because I think I definitely have that connection. I've had it in the past where people have come over to visit from New York, and I've been able to host them, or, you know, meet up with them and introduce them to other people on the improv scene, the acting scene, whatever it might be. And similarly, I've had friends who have gone over to New York, and I've been able to connect them with friends, people that I know over there, and be like, okay, you're visiting New York, right? Here's somebody to meet up with. Here's, you know, I've had friends go over and have the chance to perform because I knew somebody in New York doing shows. And so it's like on the improv side of things, and sort of been able to help arrange that. I think in some ways, when it comes to New York though, I kind of live in a bit of two worlds, in that you've got New York's one world, and also New York's as well, this interesting beast where it's so, I want to say transient or something, that the people, I've been going over there on and off for 20 years, but cumulatively probably spent about a year over the past 20 in New York. And so many people that I know, they are still there, but there's so many others I know who have moved on. New York's such an interesting beast. So my connections with New York are often, I've got friends and people that I love and care about over there that I can meet up with and see. And also there's these opportunities to meet new people, because there's classes, there's jams, there's shows. You know, the phrase, you're not alone in this, I think is something that I want to reiterate in terms of the theme of loneliness. I think this industry, this world, and again, won't go on an anti-capitalist rant, although I can do in the 10-hour version of this, it's easy to feel that I'm alone in this, and I've certainly had that recently, and I know we'll come in waves in terms of that feeling. But you're not. There are people out there that love you, that care about you, and just always let that be an anchor for any times you're feeling like that. These feelings do pass, and that there's good times still ahead, you know.
I think you're right. I think knowing that you're not alone in these sort of feelings makes a massive difference. Yeah. It really does. Thank you for taking the time out, Paul, to talk about loneliness. If you have an idea of a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, then drop me an email at wendy@wendylabcreative.com. I do hope you'll listen in again next week for episode 4.